Okay, welcome back. Glad to have you with us tonight. We're on a little mental trip, a journey. Harry's going to be making the real thing this November, December, down to the Antarctic with a stellar group of people who really care about history, who are really fascinated with what went on down there. Now, as you scroll down the pictures, at the top, you'll find the first link. There are two films that I've asked James to link to. Stills from the film At, and you'll see the link there. Click on it. That's the one with the color footage and the interview with the fellow who apparently was the, we call it a videographer now, but he was a motion picture photographer who went on board the Schwabenland and took all this amazing film. And for all we know, many of the still photos, which we're yet to see. So scroll down the pictures, and you'll see the round, green, we'll call it a freshwater lake, where it's warm, it's certainly above freezing, in the Antarctic. The next picture down shows another view. There's more water in that picture. It's just a little difficult to see because it is a little bit blurry, but you can see in the foreground there's clear water, and then there's more on the left side about halfway back. Not a lot of snow. Something warmed that up and is keeping it warm. Volcanism, perhaps. Maybe that's what it is. Now, the picture below that is really fascinating. It's an opening. It's a triangular opening in the side of one of the mountains there. And you'll see there's a white line there. And it's a cave. I don't know if Harry will be able to find that, but I hope so. I'm not sure what's on the left-hand side. It's a rock formation, and there's a square. Looks like some kind of a survey marker. I don't know what that is. It may be just an overlay on the photograph. But that's a color photograph of an opening into something. What is inside there? I couldn't tell you. There's another picture below that, another opening. And this is looks like a Google Earth picture. That's another entrance. Now, these may be big enough for things to fly in and out of. We can just leave it at that. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know what the diameter of that opening is, but it's a fascinating picture, Harry, two of them.
Yeah, it is, and like you say, we don't know the size. It might. It looks like it's the same thing from the shape of the opening. Might be the same place, the same structure, the same whatever.
Or because there's it may be different at time of the year. The snow is different. There's no snow that's visible on the top, but it is a triangular opening. So maybe it's what. I don't know. It could be the same thing. It could be two different locations with the same technology used to make the opening.
Yeah, if we can find the location of that, then we can dial that in maybe to our expedition. Remember, Antarctica, I was surprised when I started looking into this a few years ago. It's five times the size of the United States.
No problem. No problem. Don't worry about it.
Right. Yeah, all we need is planes and ships and all sorts of stuff, yeah. But, if this is all in the German area, the German-claimed area of Neuschwabenland, well, that narrows it down mightily.
Yeah.
We would not have a catapult ship down there. So anything we would have would probably be either on the surface in snowcats or ultralights, which don't have a very long range. But
very
if it's
interesting.
There,
no.
We'll get it.
I believe you've gotten so many things in the past with your terrestrial investigations in the northern clime and in South America. They're just amazing. Let's go next after the two openings, which appear to be openings, to something.
Yeah.
We start then with still frames from this film. It's only 8 or 9 minutes long. You can click that link and look at it. That film is said to have been found, again, at a junk sale or a swap meet or something like that. And what it appears to be is a 1938 German government production that was released, I'll guess, in the movie theaters for the German populace to take a look at. There is some Wagner. I believe there's some Franz Liszt in the background. There's music background. There's a narrator. There are text blocks which show up, which I can't read. Maybe Harry can read a little bit of it for us here. But There it is. There's the opening billboard to that particular film. And then it says a documentary film by Günter Rittal. Is that how you pronounce it? Or Rittal? R-I-T-T-A-L. Rittal.
Rittal, yeah. Documentary film from Günter Rittal. Yeah, UFA. That UFA is their main film outfit. There's all sorts of UFA films coming back to light now. More and more are being found. But that, yeah, you're right. That would be the weekly, like we used to see in the theaters.
Newsreels.
Newsreel, yeah. What the heck did they call it?
Movie Tone News.
That's it. There you go. Movie Tone News. Man, I can still see the intro on my mind, the skiers and the baseball players and all that. Jeez.
There were actually, I think, two or three companies putting those newsreel-type films out for the theaters. That's where people got their television news, in the movie theaters.
Yeah,
they go to see the
movies.
No. Yeah. They'd go to see the movies, and they'd get to see amazing events. And filmed spectacularly, by the way. And they had their best motion picture photographers from the movie theaters assigned to these units that would produce the newsreels. And then you'd see him in the theaters. Okay. You know who used to... Lowell Thomas used to narrate those, a lot of those.
Right,
Lowell Thomas,
right. That's
journalist.
True. Yeah. And that's when the American film industry was starting to blossom. Prior to that, the German film industry was the biggest in the world.
It's something that nobody even knows. The
right.
Germany of the 20s and 30s, especially the 30s, was just extraordinary. Okay,
right.
next screen is a quote from Goebbels. What does it say? Can you read it?
I'm not that good at written German.
Well, you want me to speak it to you? Then you'll get it. Here,
I can say. No, our something or another is the freedom of our people, and the Reich, the kingdom. Now the rest of it, I'm lost.
That's
I'm
good
lost.
Enough.
I can get along ordering a meal, and I can get a hotel room and find directions and have a halfway intelligent conversation. But reading stuff like this, I need to practice more.
All right.
Whenever I go over to Germany, all my friends over there want to speak English and practice their English with me.
Funny.
So, yeah.
Well, there's no mistaking.
Joseph Goebbels.
Right, Reichsminister Joseph Goebbels. That's
something's
clear.
Something's wrong there. That they spelled Joseph with a P-H. It should have been J-O-S-E-F, I thought.
Don't know. J-O-S-E-P-H.
Right.
Correct. Yeah, that's odd.
But in
odd.
German, it should have been spelled J-O-S-E-F.
I wonder if they did it for foreign consumption.
Or if I'm in error.
Nah.
I thought I was made a mistake once, but I
was wrong. No. Never happened. Okay. And then the title billboard, New Schwabenland. And after
Schwabenland,
we go
New
through
Schwabia.
The credits. And then we'll move on to the first picture, which is a very clear, very good photograph of the ship, the Schwabenland. And you're looking at the stern of it. And
right.
That's a long ship.
Right, and the Dornier whale is sitting up there, and if you look closely, I don't know, some strange structure on the starboard side of the ship aft, but I don't know, but that Dornier whale is sitting on the catapult.
Well, the crane is to the right, and I think it's laid down for the launch.
Mm. Okay, right.
So yeah, there we go.
Liquid-cooled engines. Because in the close-up, you can see a huge, big radiator right behind the propeller.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's not a UFO in the middle background. Well, maybe it is. I don't know.
Who knows?
All right. Who knows? Okay. And then here's another picture, a close-up of the same plane.
Yeah, that's one of the Dornier whales. And it's, as I say, that's a flying boat because the hull of the aircraft, the fuselage, actually floats in the water.
Uh-huh.
And you see it's got the little extensions out on the side there to help it get lift once it gets rolling. So that's a flying boat as opposed to a seaplane.
Remarkable.
Not important right now, I'm sure.
All right. And there's another text screen, and we'll go beyond that. And there are three men in one of the on-foot efforts to get out there and take a look around.
Right.
Holding a German flag.
Yep, claiming that area, I guess.
All right, I've seen this picture colorized somewhere. I don't know where, but it's that flag, for you folks who don't know, is bright red with a white circle and a black swastika in it.
Yep.
Okay. Now, the next picture shows one of the items dropped from above, or perhaps in this case it was hand-planted by the crew that was out on foot doing some reconnaissance.
Right, or just for a photo op. But these were the so-called spears that were dropped every 1 kilometer along the border that Germany was claiming. And on the top of that thing, it had a swastika stamped in it. And then every 10 kilometers, they'd have one that was taller than this, 2 meters high, which is, 6'7", something like that, that had a metal swastika flag on the top
mm-hmm.
of it.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Find one of those, and you can pay for your kid's college. Okay.
I would imagine.
All you got to do is go down and look.
It costs you $250,000 to come back with a $50,000 item.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, I'm looking ahead here. All right, here's a picture of four men in what appear to be rubber suits.
Yeah.
Although, not sure what they're dressed up like that for, maybe just to guard against the cold.
I would think so. They look like they're awfully puffy, so that means they've got several layers on underneath. When I was in the Air Force, stationed in a really cold area where sometimes 20, 25 below zero was a high for a whole week, we'd look like that on the flight line. We'd have two sets of thermal underwears,
wow.
Two pair of thermal socks, two pairs of fatigues, and then the heavy weather gear and our mucklucks. So you get puffed up like that.
Yeah.
You don't get cold, that's for sure.
They look like rubber suits to me.
Could be.
Maybe leather, but hard to know. Okay.
Yeah, since it wasn't nylon back in those days.
I do think that those men, could that be on a U-boat? Probably not. No, it's probably on the side of the Schwabenland.
Yeah, it's not a U-boat. No, it's not a conning tower.
Okay.
Just plain not.
All right. Now, next is another text screen, and there we have the man who took all the film with his, it's probably a Bolex camera. He probably had several cameras. Now that's him. If you want to scroll back up to the top, you'll see a color picture of him. We believe it's the same fellow, being interviewed for the documentary that the first film of these two that we're looking at stills from, was located. Okay. So that's probably the same man.
Yeah, could very well be. He had a lot more hair in his early days.
Yeah, well, okay, now let's see. All right, next. We have a black and white picture. This is from that second film. This film is all black and white, no color, no sound except for the narrator and some Wagnerian music underneath the images. A lot of stills, still film in with the motion. But it's mostly, these are still frames blown up to appear in a film documentary. All right, this shows another round lake. I'm not sure how wet that is, if it's frozen or if it's actually liquid, but it shows some of the terrain there. Now, the interesting thing, and if you're sharp-eyed, you've already seen this, or if you've scrolled ahead, you've already seen it, but right, the top third, just right of center, is a black, what might be an opening. And I've had James put an arrow to it in the next picture.
Yeah. Actually, I think instead of a lake, I think that's a bay in the ocean, because we've got that same picture, only ours goes quite a bit further off to the right, and you can see a dock and some buildings there. So we think that would be a landing area.
Really? A dock and buildings dating back from 1938?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, from the Schwabenland expedition.
Yeah. So they built a dock, and they had some material to put some buildings together. If you look at that black area that may be an opening with a magnifying glass, it's black. I mean, it's there's no middle ground. It's black, which suggests that it is an opening. but I can't prove it. So I like looking at Mars and trying to figure out what we're seeing there.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, onward. Now, the crew that went in the air and the two planes and overflew so much of the area that they were claiming did take aerial photographs. Here's one, obviously an airborne photograph of fresh water. I don't think that's the ocean, but there's the sun, looks like it's setting. And it's unfortunate it's not crystal clear, but you get the idea. Very interesting picture. Okay,
yeah,
now.
There's so many things we need to explain.
Okay, the next picture is where it really starts to become fascinating. It's underground, and it's an opening. Could it be that we're looking out the opening into the bright light that we just looked at from the outside in that picture with the red arrow? I don't know. I don't have that answer. But this, again, is a triangular opening. And was it one of the first two that we saw up at the top? If there were two, maybe it's just one in the color version. I don't know. But look at the size of the man in there.
Yeah, I was just going to say, compare the guy with the size of the opening. It's pretty 50, fair.
50 to 60 feet tall.
Yeah.
Right?
I would say.
Yeah. Okay. And
hopefully we get a picture of me standing in there fairly soon.
I insist. Now, the inside of that, we don't know. It's dark. But it obviously is formidable in size. It's big. Now let's scroll down to the next picture. And hold on to your hats, folks. Look at that.
Yeah, with the three guys in it.
Yeah. Now, that light coming down is either snow or it's sunlight. It appears to be snow that has fallen into that opening. And they climbed down it. That's my guess. I'm, again, looking at it with a magnifying glass. I think that's snow and ice, Harry.
It appears that way. I've got it up on a large monitor, so I'm seeing a bigger screen than you are. And you wonder, maybe it's a hole, an opening in the roof that the snow has come in over the years, months, whatever.
But look what's inside. This is an enormous cavern. And if what we're looking at in the foreground at the top is as high as it goes, it's 100 feet tall.
It's pretty high, yeah. And
well,
where does
at least
it go?
Where does it go? How did it get there? Is it a volcanic creation? Geology of some kind, for sure. All right, the next one. Now, this one is really, again, it just takes your breath away. Look at the size of that. Look at them. There's two men on the lower left, but look how huge that cavern is.
Yeah, that obviously is not man-made either, but what was it being used for? Was it being used for anything, or was it just a natural phenomenon that they were exploring? We don't know.
Now, if the Germans found these caverns in their 1938 expedition, and they hustled up another ship, which went down, even though the war was on in 1940, a couple of ships full of, hypothesizing here, full of construction equipment and material and workmen. They could have done a lot in these caverns. Not like building at home, but they certainly could have made them more hospitable and made them more of a permanent fixture. And I don't, again, know how far these are located away from a water entrance and how much of an overland hike it would have had to be from the Schwabenland, wherever it docked.
Yeah, it's something you can theorize. But now, of course, when Schwabenland came down there, she was not alone. There were, she was the flagship. But if I remember correctly, there were five or six ships in the group, support ships. Now, maybe more came down later. I don't know. We don't have any indication that any did. But who knows? If they had any secret documents, that's why they call them secret, because you're not supposed to find them.
What an amazing image that is. Just stunning. And the guy taking the picture,
Yeah, you're looking out because you can see where the men are standing. That's pretty much the entrance because the way the light is out beyond that, and then there's a hill or a mountain or whatever in the background.
I think that hill in the background is inside. I think the entrance is around to the right where the sunlight's coming in. A lot of ways to read that.
Could be. Okay. If we find out where it's at, we'll go there.
Just to find one of those would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and the next picture is very intriguing. It's kind of an elliptical opening into the rock. And on the left is, we call it a waterfall. There's water coming out.
Yeah. Imagine that, yeah. And apparently the guy taking the picture is standing in the stream that's downstream from that...
Water. What would cause the water to have heated up to the extent that it remained liquid at that depth? Now, it's said that if you go only 16, 18 inches deep anywhere in the U.S. or anywhere on the surface, you'll get it a constant 50, 55 degrees. It'll just stay that way. So it's not hard to figure out that when you go underground to this level, it's going to be, whatever it is, it's going to be stable.
Yeah, it should be.
Global warming.
It's been a long time since I had any geology classes. Boy, well, I should have stayed awake in my geology classes.
This is another really extraordinary picture. Are we outside looking into this opening? I would suggest that.
That would be my guess.
Stream of water just coursing out of a hole onto the ground.
Yeah, well, you find stuff like that when we drive up to... the Midwest, we go through Nashville and parts of Tennessee there along where the interstate runs along the side of cliffs going straight up. And there's all sorts of places where water is just shooting out of an opening in the cliff and running down the side of the cliffs.
Groundwater.
So it's just a natural fissure.
Okay, hold on right there. Go ahead, Harry. Finish your thought.
I was going to say, in the wintertime, the water runs out and then freezes, and so you got all sorts of ice flows down the side of these mountains there in Tennessee.
Well,
beautiful sight.
Yeah. No wintertime down in that cavern, I wouldn't think.
Probably true.
And this is before global warming. Gee. All right, hold on a minute. We'll come right back and look at some more pictures. Jeff Rentz and Harry Cooper doing it again, taking all of you on a wonderful trip of the mind, and certainly visually these are stunning. Always have fun with Harry and the pictures from his expeditions, and please stay in touch with Shark Hunters. Understand that this is the most unique activist organization that studies history and brings it live on the planet. You can join, and my goodness, do they have some wonderful things for you to avail yourselves of to relive history. First person, told by the people who lived it. That's an extraordinary adventure, sharkhunters.com. Okay, scroll down to the next picture. Another stunning picture. This one just really floored me when I first saw it. And I want to thank Jerry Kierkegaard for this video. I saw this video, and then I, like a fool, I didn't bookmark it. I figured I could find it. I couldn't. Jerry mounted a search and sent me the link for this video from which these still frames are taken by James, my webmaster, and put up for all of us to look at. This one has a cathedral feeling to it. And what it looks like, a waterfall again on the left, coming straight down, and daylight perhaps behind the man on the right, off in the distance. That may be where they walked in. Somebody walked further, turned around, and took a shot back toward the entrance on this incredible waterfall. Just amazing. That's your cue.
quite a place. And yeah, I know, quite a place. And
we'll call that one Cooper Cave. How's that?
Okay.
Cooper Cavern. No, it's bigger than
Cooper
a cave.
Cavern.
Cooper
Good.
Cavern.
We'll trademark that, and if anybody else goes in there, they have to pay me some kind of a toll.
Well, you can set up a little snack bar in there and wait as tourists come by. There may not be many, but it's thought that counts. That is
yeah.
a beautiful... Can you imagine, folks, what that must be like to be in there?
Got to wonder, though, it's an unusual kind of cave, because any cave I've ever been in has stalactites and stalagmites and, nothing here.
No. None of them have those kind of formations. And you
right.
do remember a little geology. Scroll back and look at the pictures we've seen. Scroll back. Take a look.
Okay.
Look at the scale of what we're looking at. This is enormous stuff.
Yeah.
This big, big, big stuff. And plenty big enough for just to feed the folks out there who are really interested in UFOs and ET. Plenty enough, big enough, for discs to fly in and out of.
If that was what happened, yep. And I've been at this long enough to know that you don't, you neither accept
or deny.
Nor poo-poo
yeah.
anything until you actually get there or somebody else gets there and has boots on the ground
yeah.
and eyeballs. Then you can say yes or no, but otherwise, you
got to leave the door open.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
otherwise, you're just kidding yourself.
Okay. The next picture again shows obviously light coming down from above. There's some kind of an opening.
Yeah.
Again, on the left, it looks like a waterfall coming down the side. Interesting rock formations there. If you look closely at those horizontal rock layers, they look
yeah.
like they've been kind of carved. That's a very unusual formation.
I don't know anything about geology down there, but in normal places, that would be a sedimentary foundation that
right.
somehow this hole was dug in now, either by erosion of water coming down or somebody blasted it. It looks too rocky, though, for it to have been blasted. It looks like erosion over the eons.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember, the Antarctic at one point was not all ice and snow. It was
right.
ice-free and probably well inhabited. Yeah.
That's back when they had real global warming.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, now the next one. This is really a weird one. I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, it looks like it's been tunneled and then tunneled again in a different way and then again. And the guy standing in the foreground is looking at his two buddies way down the road.
See, they're at the bottom? Look at it. You'll see them. Now, doesn't that look like what Harry just said, that this has been tunneled? Look at the angle, the radius on the left-hand side. That looks like a tunnel that you would build. Somehow, somebody got in there with something, and I'm not going to say they drilled it. Maybe they just melted it. Maybe they melted rock with some high-intensity electromagnetic advanced technology. It looks
maybe
like...
just a plain old flamethrower.
Well, that's... That looks.
No,
it does look like it's been created. I'm sure that if not, it would suggest a mass of water went through there, front to back, and hollowed that out somehow over the eons. But that's a very strange formation.
And you have to wonder if it was water erosion, because if it was water erosion, the base, the floor, whatever, should be smooth. Here you've got several high ridges. That's just not the way erosion would have left it. Looking back to my geology class way
you've
back
done
before
well,
most
you did,
of your
no,
listeners were born.
You said stalactites and stalagmites and sedimentary.
Right.
Those are big words, so you did well. All right.
Yeah, I'd have done better if I hadn't slept through part of the class.
Okay. What was her name? Oh, never mind. That was another story. Okay. Now, the next picture again, is a remarkable. There must be an area which has caves and enormous gigantic caverns, underground formations that are wide open and weather protected. Here's another one. This is a different shot, looking from inside to the light to the entrance.
Yeah, and on the right side of the picture, you've got that vertical line. Is that the border of the picture, or is that some kind of a
door frame
or something?
No, it's the picture, yeah.
It's on the picture, okay.
That's been cropped, or that's it.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, you're inside looking out, apparently, from the way the light's hitting it. What's that all about?
Yeah.
Well, there's apparently a bunch of caves there. Are those caves all in a small area, or are they spread out all over Neuschwabenland? We don't know.
Okay, the next picture again shows a beam of light coming down from above. There's obviously a hole on the surface that the sunlight can come down into this enormous cavern. I don't know what the black thing is on the left, and I certainly hope it isn't somebody falling.
Might be some guy coming down on a rope.
I'm trying to see that.
Who knows?
You know, it does look like that's a possibility. And whoever the square, it looks like his head is to the left.
Yep.
His back, his arms are holding a rope. See, his feet are down. His rear end is on the left, and on the right is a square box.
Yeah,
maybe he's bringing something down with him.
Down or up?
Down or up?
Yeah.
I would say that's a good call, and certainly there's an appearance of a rope below. That is obvious.
Yeah.
And there's something in his hands that goes up.
Yeah, if you had a bigger screen, you'd be able to see it easily. But, you know, what's in the box, if that is what it is, I don't know. Nazi gold. Everything has to do with Nazi gold, according to the speculators.
You saying my 8-inch monitor isn't big enough? Is that what you're saying?
I'd say you probably need a little help there. I've got a monitor that's, I think, 22 inches diagonally.
I'm kidding. Mine isn't that small. All right. Just seems like it. Okay.
Okay.
Next picture. Now, we're leaving Neuschwabenland, and what we're going to show you next, and I can't prove this, but it's probably an underground construction project in Europe somewhere, in Germany and Poland somewhere. I don't think that this is still in the Antarctic.
No, those people are wearing shorts. A lot of them.
Yeah.
And nobody's wearing heavy gear.
I you know, almost looks to me, Harry, that there's a guy on the right, on the far right. It looks like he has ropes hanging around his neck.
Does. It looks like he's got it with his right arm over it, or his left arm over it, and his right arm, it's up on his right shoulder.
Okay, I'm going to go further. I don't think any of those are tools, like shovels. I think they're walking sticks of some kind. And I also think that what we're seeing, if you go 1, 2 from the right, the first one, 1, 2, the second one, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, if you look, are women. They have breeches on, and they're wider.
Jodhpurs.
That's it, jodhpurs, and they're wider at the thigh and the waist, and more narrow at the knee on down. And they have boots on. I think this is an expedition of people who have gone looking into this cave. Now the question is, where the hell is this place?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't see any snow, and these people are not dressed for cold weather. And jodhpurs, you know, those are riding pants, you know, of the 30s and 40s, but that doesn't necessarily mean they've got horses there.
We don't know if many women went on this expedition or not. We have no idea.
Well, to Schwabenland, I don't think there were any women. I don't know for sure, but we have not seen any indication that any would be there.
I agree. I think this is something that is in Europe, and we've transitioned now to another section of the film. Remember, I had these stills pulled in a perfect sequential order from the beginning of the film to the end.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, they've moved away. Now, the narrator, I think, was talking, and here's another print screen, which...
I can translate part of that print screen. It says, the flying boat Boreas with Schirmacher and Sauter, I guess that would be the pilot and co-pilot, dem Funker Erich Gruber, that means the radio man, Eric Gruber, and the mechanic, Kurt Lerzner, the rest of them lost. Oh, wait a minute, something about 7 days, you know, 7 Tage, seven... I don't know. I've lost.
Well, let me retreat then. If that is alluding to the Boreas, one of the two flying planes that they took down on Schwabenland,
yeah,
then
and boat is flying boat.
This is, remember, this is in sequence in the film. So why would they put a credit mentioning the pilot, co-pilot, radio operator, the plane,
mechanic,
after a picture of Europe?
Yeah, you make a good point there. So, in your opinion, that's still Schwabenland or Antarctica?
It could be. I mean, I don't have an answer for you. It doesn't make sense if you're putting a film together to put this kind of a narration piece in text after a picture, unless you're going to say, now, back to Europe, meanwhile, back at the ranch, or...
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this is a normal kind of an expedition. I don't know.
Right below,
I don't know.
Right below that text block, pardon me, they've got another shot of Schwabenland firing off that seaplane.
With the four engines. That's a very interesting... See, I just... We'll have to get somebody to take this film, Harry, and do the translation. There's a narrator as well.
Yeah, somebody who can speak German. That ain't me right now.
So if that cave is in New Schwabenland, look at the formation at the top. And that almost looked like it's been worked by somebody.
And there's a lot of shale or whatever you want to call that down at the foreground, as if you know, the spoil area.
That's right. Tailings.
Could be.
Tailings.
Yeah.
That's
Could
another
be,
geographical term, tailings.
Okay.
Goes along with sedentary. All right, now...
Sedimentary.
That too. Elementary too, my dear Watson. That plane coming off the back of Schwabenland is very impressive. They've rocketed those planes off there. Look at that.
Yeah.
Four engines screaming, and that plane took off. Whew.
Yeah, well, the same as today's modern aircraft carriers. They accelerate an aircraft from zero to about 160 knots in very short order. What, about 100 feet or so? 100 right. yards, 100 feet, whatever. I don't know. I was never in the Navy, so I never served on a carrier. Our planes took like 2 miles to get into the air.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here are several text screens, which will probably... See, the last text screen says Flugboot. I guess that's flying boat again.
Yeah, the first flying boat, then I'm lost. There's the Fernflug. What the heck is Fernflug? I don't know, but the first Fernflug, whatever. I'm going to get a lot of emails, I know. Mm-hmm. Hey, dummy, this is how you translate it, but okay. I'll put up that, anyhow, it was the 21st of January.
Right.
Which would have been 39, I'm sure.
Uh-huh. Here's another picture.
There in 38.
Here's another picture of, the Dornier or Dornier coming off the back of the Schwabenland on the catapult.
Yeah.
The crane is again laid down for takeoff.
Mm-hmm. It would be nice if there was some way we could find out what was, on the side of the ship. You'll notice there's that long white fixture on the side of the ship that had some writing on it, but you can't see what it is from here.
It looks in midships.
Yes.
It doesn't look like writing. It looks like windows.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it could be the windows on the deckhouse.
I think they just painted it white on the outside. Siegfried Sauter. Okay, well, so there are a lot of people reading this right now who understand what we're seeing.
Yeah,
I
right.
don't.
I can only pick up a few words. Siegfried Sauter or something in this moment. Christ. No, I'm lost.
All right. It's all right. You'll take the heat later.
No, I'm sure I will.
I'm not answering any calls. Okay, next picture, penguins on board. And if you look on the right is the filmmaker. He's right there.
Yeah. Yeah, the penguins, I guess, are not afraid of humans since they rarely ever see them.
They didn't. It may have been the first time for them. They never seen them before. They probably saying, who the hell are these people?
Yeah,
let's go find
out. What are they doing on our place? Yeah,
that's
right. It looks like they've got them on board the ship there.
All right, 11,600 leak builder. The next screen. And 600,000 quadra-kilometer.
Yeah.
All right, we'll find out.
Leash builder. Builder is a picture. At least would be light.
Mm-hmm.
They made 11,600 gemacht is made. Oh, boy, I sound really...
All right, don't worry about it. Now, I'm going to go on real quick.
Siegfried Sauter.
Yeah. We want to go on real quick to some very interesting pictures that come up here. Here's another picture of the Schwabenland. I don't know where that is, but it looks like it's back in port somewhere. There's some buildings behind it on the right, unless those buildings...
Yeah, or was that a ship back there?
I can't tell. It may be another ship. You're right.
Yeah.
Could be.
Well, they had several ships with their group. I'm wondering if that's at the island of Trindade, because Trindade had mountains going up right back from the from the shoreline almost. Zarukovdam ship, the return of the ship. I got that part.
Oh, is that it? The return of?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's
Zarukovdam ship.
Got it.
The return of the ship.
All right. You're
base 211.
You're forgiven. Okay.
Okay.
Now
base 211. I keep hearing that from people asking me if we're going to go look for base 211. I can't fill up any more details on that.
Okay.
But,
all right, there's some very interesting blueprints here of five- and six-level dome-shaped structures. The five- and six-levels are inside. Were these projected to be something that would be built in the Antarctic, or is this something that was being already built in Germany or in the east of Germany? Hard to know.
Yeah, we've seen, we've seen several underground structures like this in Germany, but that doesn't mean it's the only one they're going to do.
Okay.
At the town in the area of Wunsdorf-Zolzen, which is outside of Berlin, there's a huge, big command structure for the OKW, Oberkommander der Wehrmacht, the high command of the military. They were like 90 meters underground at huge complexes like this. And we've been in those. We go on those sometimes on our tours.
90 meters underground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we have some group shots of some VIPs looking at models. And there was a picture of, looks like, is that Albert Speer with Hitler? Can't tell.
Yes, that's Speer. That is Speer.
They're looking at some plans, whether or not they're related to this, probably not. Probably look at the building. Just take a look. Now, there's a strange thing with scaffolding around it being built. There's a crane. You'll see it. It's round. It's got looks like parapets. Looks like a castle.
I am quite certain is...
Yes, it is.
It's a flak term.
They made three of those in like 6 weeks or something. And there were three on top. They had anti-aircraft guns. They had room inside for something like several thousand people in it. Russians...
Way down deep underneath is where they stored the ammo. There's actually four of those turrets on each corner. We visit one when we go to Berlin. It's still standing. But on top of each one of those round things, they had the 88, millimeter, the long gun, which brought down more Allied bombers than the Luftwaffe did. Then around them they had some 37 millimeters, and around that they had 20 millimeters. The place was just an armed fortress, and they had elevators inside to bring the ammo up. And then, you know, when the bombing attack came, there were thousands of people came inside for refuge. There were quite a few of these built around Germany, but there were, I think, four of them built in Berlin.
Three. And I saw a documentary. Three.
Yeah. And one is still in pretty good shape.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. And there supposedly, there was such fear of the Soviets that there were many Germans who committed suicide. Those who couldn't get in there, some even inside committed suicide. It was a nightmare. There were, I think there was a couple tens of thousands of people crammed into that thing. It's big.
Yeah.
They were just looking to hide from the Soviet hordes. But you see more pictures of the construction of it.
Right. Yeah, the Soviets treated the Germans just horribly.
Well, they didn't.
You know, the rest of the Allies weren't all that nice either.
All true. All right, and the last group of pictures, which we'll touch on briefly, we got a few minutes, Todd, so let's go through these, is something that's obviously a big dome structure that they're going to cover over with dirt, I would suggest, when they're finished building it. That's under construction. Take a look at that. There are mining cars moving the dirt out, probably an underground aircraft building facility, perhaps, something like that. The next picture is a sea of rebar that you see up and bent, ready to have concrete poured on it. And there you see more construction. I don't know what this item is. Maybe somebody could tell you, Harry, and we'll find out.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Move down, and I want you to look at some of the underground tunnels that the Germans built. Look at the precision, the archways, the railroad down the middle. Look at the railroad on the bottom picture of that big tunnel with... looks on each side. There are rooms or entrances to God only knows what. I mean, this is an enormous thing.
And dispel the old rumor that this was.
Can you turn the sound off, Todd, please? Thank you. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, this will dispel the myth that this was done with slave labor. It was not. It was done with highly skilled miners. You're not going to have unskilled slave laborers.
Oh, they wouldn't know what they were doing.
Exactly. So that's and these tunnels still exist.
Yeah. Now let's move down. Picture of the night. What the heck are these two round balls on the on the round columns that come up? It looks like some Tesla kind of a thing. You can just see electricity arcing between them. What is that?
That's anybody's guess. If you look down towards the lower left in that photo, I think there's two people there.
They're very small.
Yeah. So.
This was some kind of a very advanced technology. I don't know what. I'd be interested to find out what kind of input you get in the next day or two after we do this program.
Yeah,
that's
I'd welcome
amazing.
Any input. Sharkhunters@earthlink.net. Just send us a note and let us know what you think it is.
Now, the next picture is a large building under construction. I don't know what it is. You might know, but that's a big building with rounded walkways. It must be a famous building of some kind.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. Scroll down a little further, you'll see what it amounts to, a hole in the ground, a ventilation shaft of some kind for a deep underground bunker complex. And then the next picture shows two pipes maybe carrying water or who knows what down there, way down. And then the other pictures, and it says ENDE, which I think you can all figure out.
Yeah, Das Ende.
What a story, huh?
Yeah, and it's waiting to be told. You know, we have to find out what's going on. We have to go there. And that's the only way to do it. You can't do it by researching in the library somewhere. You can't do it by speculation. You have to actually go there.
Okay.
That's what
you're
going
to do. Yeah, this is going to be amazing. If any of you have any ideas about some of the pictures we can't identify, especially those two round objects, enormous tall objects on round columns for support, what is that? It looks like it's like something you would see from Forbidden Planet with electricity yeah. arcing back and forth between the two.
That's, yeah, like the old Flash Gordon movies.
That's right. I don't know what that would be. Well, all right, my friend. Let's wrap this up, and we had a great time, Harry and I, and I hope all of you did as well. The program will be here for you to listen to anytime you'd like at sharkhunters.com. And Harry is off this fall, November and December, to the Antarctic. And we will have yeah. much more to say about this in the weeks ahead. Thank you, Harry, as always.
My pleasure.
Just fascinating. All right, you take care.
All righty. Good night.
All right. All right, let's jump into our break, and then we'll come right back out.